Rabotai, we are in the month of Elul. Chodesh Arachamim. And of course, Elul serves as a entrance and a doorway and a Pesach into the coming year. Shiyavo Alenu L'tova, Amen. And this gives us a chance to start making a Hashbon HaNefesh. Hashbon HaNefesh is to make an introspection or an accounting. Hakamim are always advising us to take stock of ourselves. They say that a person should take stock before he goes to sleep at night. He should remember when the mitzvot and the sins that he did are still fresh in his mind. So he should just clear up the bill before he goes to sleep. Say Anna, make the teshuvah. With this, we explain the Mishnah that says in Pirkei Avot, "Veshuv yom echad kodem mitatcha." The Zohar HaKadosh, it says in the Mishnah that you have to repent the day before you die. So the Gemara says, does the person know when he's going to die? That means repent every day. But the Zohar HaKadosh says that when a person goes to sleep, it's 1/60th of death. Sleeping is a form of death. That's why when we wake up in the morning, we have to make the Zilat Yadayim because there's a Tum'ah. So every day a person dies when he goes to sleep. So therefore, we say, Veshuv yom echad kodem mitatcha. Before the person retires at night and goes to sleep, which is like a death, shuv, the person should make the shuvah. And then the Achamim say, Baruch Abba Yosef, a person should make the shuvah every Friday, Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, before Shabbat comes in, the person goes to the Mikveh Tahara, purifies himself. So he goes into Shabbat clean. At least you're able to sit down for 5, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, and just go through the week. That's what you're supposed to do on Friday. You're supposed to steal 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the day and go to a private corner and go through the week as best as you can remember. What did I do Sunday? Oh, Sunday was a good day. Monday, not so good. So, and make a general hajbon if you can. And then in Shabbat, before Mincha, you clean yourself. You say, Hatati Aviti Pashati. I want to go into Shabbat clean. And then the rabbis tell us, you're supposed to make teshuvah once a month. Lachamim call that Yom Kippur Katan. That's Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh says, Zeman Kapara Lechol Toldotam. It's the time of Kapara. On Rosh Chodesh, we bring the Seir Ezim Lechatat. It's an atonement. And there we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. But before we say the Hallel, it's a good time to think, how was the last month? It's the last day of the month. You also take 5, 10 minutes, you sit on the side. What did I accomplish this month? Where was my deficiencies this month? What has more room for improvement? What doesn't? If a person doesn't take stock of himself, he'll just keep on moving and moving and moving and drifting and finding himself in the, you know, in the wrong area. And the reason is because he never stopped for a second. He never caught himself and said, Bo Hezbon. And then the rabbi said, just like there's a teshuvah that a person makes before he goes to sleep, and a teshuvah that he makes every Friday, and a teshuvah that he makes every month, a person should make teshuvah at the end of the year. And that's what we're involved in now. The last month of the year, Elul, allows us to make introspection for all that past, all that's behind us. course, it's very hard to remember exactly what we did every single day for the past 354 days or whatever it is. But nonetheless, a general Hashbon, these days were earmarked for that. It's a gift. The month of Elul is a beracha, a gift of God. So this causes us to start thinking on this amazing mitzvah called Teshuvah. Teshuvah is out of this world. Literally, the Gemishnah says in Pirkei Avot that there were certain things that were created before the world was created. Teshuvah is not from this world. Teshuvah is from a higher world. The fact that God allows us to return, we don't see that anywhere. You know, Jonathan Pollard committed an act of espionage to a certain degree. And after he committed the espionage, he said, Hatati Abiti Bashati. Hatati Abiti Bashati. Okay, I'll go to jail for a year. There's no teshuvah. There's no teshuvah. Finish. Solitary confinement for I don't know how many years, over 2 decades, more. That's not considered teshuvah. There's no teshuvah in this world. There's teshuvah. You made a sin, that's it, you pay for it. But the Lord who comes along and says that you have a chance to repent and you can fix everything as if it was not. And then there's the ability to make teshuvah me'ahava, which is another discussion, which can actually turn the averot into mitzvot. So it's a gift. Teshuvah is a gift. But the great rabbi called Ben Ish Chayim, Ben Yosef Chaim, in his sefer called Ben Ish Chayim, over there he has derashot that he gave during the season. Long derashot. You see from the length of the derashot that he wrote, these were derashot that he spoke, but then they wrote them up. And you see the level of the derash, who was he talking to? I mean, this today, these derashot of the Ben Ish Chayim, that he was talking to common folk, they could be said in the biggest yeshivas, and the rabbis would struggle to understand every word that he said. It seems they were on a very high level in those days. So he has a very strong question. We know that the Gemara says, Akol bide shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. That means God doesn't interfere with our religious decision. Although God is controlling every element of life, and God micromanages all the actions of man, hamechin misadeh gabeh, the footsteps of man are measured. And like we say in the Patach Eliyahu, that he's ilat ha'ilot v'sibat ha'sibot, that God is the cause of everything, and the orchestrator, and the facilitator of everything. But there's one area that the Achamim tell us, Borei Olam removes himself to a certain degree. And that's when it comes to religious decisions. Akol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything else is basically predetermined. Like the Gemara Nida says, that when the child is conceived, so the Malach comes along and announces whether the child is going to be rich or poor, whether the child is going to be bright or not so bright, whether the child is going to be strong or weak. But the Gemara says, the ilu tzaddik or rasha lo ka'ama. But it's not predetermined whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or rasha. That Borei Olam says, it's not for you. You have what's called free will. That's called bechira chofshit. If you choose to go on the right path, it's your choice. And if you chose to go on the wrong path, it's also your choice. You cannot blame it on anybody but yourself, nor could you take credit for anybody but yourself. If a person went and did a avera, he cannot say, well, Borei Olam must be made because it's min ha-shamayim. God wanted me to speak Lashon Hara. No, it doesn't work that way. God maybe wanted you to make an account or lose an account. That's God's business. But whether you did a Avera or not, God says this is when you have your Mechira. That's why it's ironic. A lot of the cynical people that like to make fun of religious people, so a lot of times they call the religious people zombies. You can look in the dictionary what a zombie is. Zombie is like somebody that's brainwashed. They say that it's like Jim Jones, like a cult where the rabbi serves Kool-Aid to everybody, and they drink the Kool-Aid, and everybody gets, you know, hypnotized and gets in a trance. They walk out, you know, like this, googly-eyed, starry-eyed. Well, I say it's ironic because, on the contrary, the only area in life where we have some sort of control is religion. And therefore what Torah is, Torah empowers a person. Which means somebody that doesn't have Torah, so he's totally being controlled. He's totally being managed by God. Like a puppet, like a puppeteer that's just moving every gesture of the puppet. When a person comes to Torah class, the Torah says, yes, but there's one area where you have a say. On the contrary, the Torah is coming to take away the zombieism. The Torah is coming to take away the sleepwalking. Here you have a chance to do as you wish, and nobody can stop you. Adrabah, now I have power. Oh, you found it? Okay. No problem. I see, he's writing. The guy that's not writing. Now we're just trying out that because it's amazing. So it could be the Shamayim, hopefully not Shamayim. God doesn't interfere with the decision making. So the Ben Ish Chai asks in Ben Ish Chayil, in the first Derashah that he gave them, he says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says in a different place that regarding a person making Teshuvah, El Malea Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Lo Yachol Lo. If God wouldn't help the person make Teshuvah and fight the Yetzer Hara, he would not be able to do it on his own. Here you see that God's involved. Which means God's involved in the process. Make up your mind. Here you tell me, and then you tell me not only God's involved, but without God's involvement, lo yachol, you wouldn't be able to do it. So therefore, it's really God is doing everything. You understand? The Gemara in Shabbat talks about somebody that's yachol and eno yachol, which means he couldn't carry it alone. He needs somebody else, and the other guy would be able to carry it alone. So the guy would be able to carry it alone. He gets the credit for doing the Aved HaAved on Shabbat. The other guy couldn't carry it. So if it wasn't for God, lo yachol. So who's basically making the teshuvah for us? God. I thought you said you don't get involved. You just said you don't get involved. And all of a sudden, not only is he getting involved, but God says, if I didn't help you, help me in Parnassah, that I know. Help me in all the other realms of life, I know. But help me in Teshuvah, you just told me, you want to make Teshuvah, you make. You don't want to make, don't make. I'm watching, I'm waiting for you. Up to you. Now it says, oh, you're a lucky guy. You're a lucky guy. If I didn't help you make Teshuvah, you'd still be stuck in the mud. Also, I don't have any free will then. Because you're helping make the Teshuvah. So how does he square off these two statements?
Maybe that's what's separating us.
If I made a sin, I have free will to live in sin, or free will to repent. That's also my option. Not only that, but in the Amidah, we have a special beracha that's earmarked for teshuvah. And we're telling God, Hashivenu Avinu, you bring us back. God can answer, bring back yourself. Well, he asked me to bring you back for. Ask me for Parnasa, you have a right, because I'm in charge of Parnasa. Ask me for health, if Fa'enu, and that's my item. I'll give you, I don't give you, ask me. But you cannot ask God, you bring me back to Teshuvah, God will say, Chutz Me'irat Shamayim. You have to do it on your own. This is a very strong question. So the Ben Yishchai over here says a brilliant chiddush. He says, Rabotai, there's two types of teshuvah. There's teshuvah bepo'al. That's a teshuvah in actuality, where a guy comes along and he verbally confesses, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, I'm not going to do it again. I'm changing my style. I'm changing everything. I regret. That's a real, actual teshuvah. And then there's another teshuvah that he says, that precedes teshuvah bepo'al, and that's called teshuvah b'machshava. That's where a person in his mind starts to contemplate teshuvah. He starts to think, you know, I have to get a little better, I have to repair my ways, and so on and so forth. Where do you see a concept of teshuvah b'machshava? The Gemara that we're very common to quote always this time of year, where the Gemara says that a guy goes to a girl and he says to her, Hare at mekudeshet li, you will be mekudeshet to me, on the condition that I'm a tzaddik. The Shadchan called him up and said, we have a girl. What is she looking for? She's not looking for money. She's not looking for money. Okay, shehayanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu l'zimanu zeh. So what is she looking for? She's looking for a tzaddik. She went to the seminary. They said you'll be lucky to marry a tzaddik. That's the only criterion. The guy loves the girl, but he's a rasha. He's a rasha, but he loves the girl. So he tells the shadchan, no problem. I will take care of it. Bring her. He goes on the first date. He's a rasha, the guy. He's an old rasha. But he has a hen, he has a charm. So the girl is falling in love. But she keeps on saying, listen, I'm only going to marry you if you're a tzaddik. So he says, no problem. Hare at mekudeshet li. Al menat she'ani tzaddik. You're only married to me on the condition that I'm a tzaddik. So you got your wish. And if I'm not a tzaddik, so now, it should say in the Gemara, we have to open up the investigation. Is the guy a tzaddik or not? The Gemara says, don't investigate. He's a tzaddik. I give you a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, even though we know he's a committed rasha for all those years, maybe at the moment that he gave the ring, he had thoughts of teshuvah. And there were those thoughts of teshuvah, turn him into a tzaddik. Yes, that means in his mind he said, you know what? Enough. Enough. He didn't go hatati, aviti, pashati, and all that stuff. That's teshuvah bepo'al. He had a teshuvah in his mind. Already in his mind he said, you know something? I cannot continue on this road over here. That, the Bein Yishchai says, is called teshuvah. What's the proof? The Gemara calls him a tzaddik. And the Gemara says, based on what he thought in his brain, the kiddushin is kiddushin. That means teshuvah in the brain is something. It's not just a discount. Oh, it's not the brain. It doesn't have any count. It doesn't have any importance. Adrabah, you see that teshuvah in the brain can turn a person from rasha to tzaddik. So the Bein Yishchai says, like this. Teshuvah always begins with a thought. Who gives you that initial thought? God. That is what it means when the Gemara says, if God wouldn't help you, you wouldn't be able to conquer. That means, Borei Olam says, I'm not going to make the Teshuvah before. That you have to do yourself. But, if you pray to me, Hashivenu Abinu Letoratecha, Bekarebenu Malkeinu La'avodatecha, Ba'azinu B'tshuva Shelema Lefanecha, God says, I'll give you the initial push. Although I could be Neshamayim, my limit is Teshuvah in the Mahshava. I'll give you the inspiration. I'll put it in your brain. And then, after you have it in your brain, you could take it to the next level, or you could forget about it, or you could just try to deny it, or to push it to the back of the brain. He says, that's why in the Amidah we say, V'hazirinu b'tshuvah shelema lefanecha. A teshuvah that's only in front of you, because only you know what's in the person's brain, and only you are able to stick the idea of teshuvah in the brain. It's lefanecha. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. You understand? Nobody knows what I'm thinking. Person sitting, we don't know if he's thinking of teshuvah or not. So we're saying, give us, when I make teshuvah, everybody sees it. Everybody knows. But when I make teshuvah in my brain, who knows about it? Only God. We're telling God, what type of teshuvah? A teshuvah that's lefanecha. A teshuvah that only you are aware of. Because you're the only one that's yodei ha'ta'alumot. You're the one that knows all the secrets. You know the one, all the secrets that are in the person's heart. Now, without that initial thought that God puts in your brain, you wouldn't be able to get to the next level. So therefore, both statements are correct. Hakol bidei shamayim chotmirat shamayim. That's referring to stage two of Teshuvah. But without God's help, you would not be able to succeed. That's stage one. And that already, you're allowed to pray to God and ask Him, please intervene. And that already is necessary. God's intervention in the process is necessary, at least to put the person on the road to Teshuvah. If this is true, there's a very strong question, gentlemen, that I'm going to ask you here today. There's a law that says that if a person transgresses a sin, a law ta'aseh, a negative commandment, so the punishment is he gets flogged. He gets malkut. 39 lashes. But there's rules. Not every law ta'aseh gets lashes. It has to be a negative commandment that has an action. Understand? A person ate milk and meat. And had a cheeseburger, whatever it is. So he had a salad. Right, he had a salad. So now he gets malkut. Every bug, he gets 5 sets of malkuyot. So now what happens? Not every avon gets lashes. There's a law that says that if a person steals money, he went to his friend, he stuck his hand in his wallet, he stole $100. He admits, he says, I stole. But you stole, Rasha. Lo tigzol. She gave him malkut. No, there's no malkut for lo tigzol. Why don't I cover the law? Because this is what's called a lav hanitak la'aseh. Because any law ta'aseh that can be rectified, give it back. Veshiv et gezelah asher gazal. You see, when I eat a cheeseburger, I cannot rectify it. You think, oh yeah, go to the bathroom, stick your finger down your throat, and throw it up. No, you're not throwing up a cheeseburger. You're throwing up something else. So therefore, you did Avera. That's it. Avera is in stone. But any Avera that you can undo, so that's considered a less of an Avera regarding the punishment of Malkut. You understand the rule over here, Rabotai? That's called Lav Laban itak. It's connected to a mitzvah aser, and it can be fixed by the aser. That means, when I give the money back, what happened to the lot tivzol? I rectified it. So even before I gave the money back, there's no lashes. Because any averah that can be rectified like that, there's no malkut.
You get credit for what?
Gosla. No, that's a good question. The Bein Yishai asked a bomb question. He said, if that's the case, the Torah says, v'shavta, make teshuvah. So every lo ta'aseh is nitak la'aseh, because I can make teshuvah. Understand the question? Od pa'am. Every avera, guy eats a cheeseburger. Can it be rectified? Yeah, it can. How? So every avera can be fixed. So there should be no malkut on anything. That's a strong question. Your whole logic is, I could fix it. Yeah, you could fix everything, by the way. And teshuvah is like v'hishiv. V'hishiv it a gezela, v'hishiv it a cheeseburger, v'hishiv it a nevela, v'hishiv it a shafmez, v'hishiv it a kol. So why is there a concept of malkut bechlal in the Torah? So I thought of an answer myself before the Ben Yishai's answer. So I'll say what I thought first. We'll go higher, lower level, and then we'll say what the Ben Yishai says. Otherwise, the people will have claims. They say, what are we paying this guy for? He comes, he just quotes us the Ben Yishai. We can read the Ben Yishai ourselves. We'll go get the book, we'll read it ourselves. He comes, an audio book. He just reads us the book for us, and we sit in it. He says nothing on his own, the guy. The guy says nothing on his own.
Some rabbi.
A guy came to tell us, I do see of somebody else. And everybody says, oh, the rabbi. Where's the rabbi? Rabbi's a parrot. He's a parrot. He's singing somebody else's song, and he gets the credit for it.
Rabbi, you had to pay him.
Okay. Like Gabe said, he comes to the breakfast. He said that at the beginning of the summer, maybe?
The visit.
Okay, for the entertainment. So
that, off of the list.
Yes, okay. So now, I answered like this. When I return the gezelah, it's over. However, unfortunately, as we know too well, when I do teshuvah, it's usually not over because usually we go back to make the same averah. Which means we make teshuvah, no more lashon hara, and the next day, I made it yesterday. So it's almost, it's not a perfect return. It's a return where it's built in, where we know the guy. Now, if I return a gezah, it doesn't mean I'm going to steal again. When I return a gezah, I'm done. But as we know from our own experience, if it wasn't so, we should have one kippur. Do one kippur once in your life. I'm done. I made the gezah once. Why are you making gezah every year? I made the gezah last year, but you know... came back, rubber band, went this way, went that way. So therefore, on a lavadi tak, that's only when the lav is fixed conclusively. But on a lav that's not fixed conclusively, where there's a great chance of recurrence, so therefore we give the guy malkut. But the Ben Yishai says better. Ben Yishai says, when you returned the gezelah, who returned it? Use it. You fixed it. Anybody help you fix it? No. Nobody told you, put your hand in your pocket, give the guy the $100 back. You fixed it yourself. When you do the fixing yourself, you get the credit, no malkut. But teshuvah, God says, I started the process for you. I put the idea in your head. I gave you the thought. And therefore, it's not a pure labanitak. It's a labanitak, you and God. God says, it's a pure nitak. No problem. This is not because God says, before a person makes the teshuvah, there's a spark in his brain that's lit that says, enough. That came from God. That's Borei Olam. Borei Olam says, guess what? Without that spark that I put in your brain, the process would not even go forward. So what are you doing? Baruch Hashem, you capitalized on the spark. That's your credit. You grabbed the spark and you took it to the next level. But God says, you didn't fix it yourself. You didn't fix it yourself. That's your Hayam Malkut. Based on this, last night I was asked to say Hiddushim. So I said Hiddushim. Based on the Hiddushim I said last night, we're going to explain now that the Ben Ishai was right. Not that he needs me to say he's right, but to give a proof that he's right. Somebody asked once in the Perush of the Amidah, what is when we say Melech, Ozer, Umoshiach? So they asked, what is the difference between the Ozer and the Moshiach? They say, Ozer, God helps, the Moshiach, he salvates, he brings salvation. Word, doesn't mean anything to me. What does it mean, he helps us and he brings us salvation? You just use two different words that mean the same thing. In Hebrew, there's no synonyms. Every word is different. In Hebrew language, we don't have a thesaurus that gives you 20 ways to say the same word. Every word has its own meaning and its own connotation. What is Ozer? What is Moshiach? So the Mefarshim bring down a very, very strong interpretation. They say, in this week's parasha, there's a girl that's being abused. And as she's being abused, she's screaming. It says, Sa'aka na'ala mu'orasa ve'en moshi'ala. She's screaming, help, help. Ve'en moshi'ala. So the rabbis learn, a moshi'ah is somebody that responds to a cry. Where there's a plea, or there's a shout, or something, the one that comes and responds to the call, you're called Moshiach. But always before a Moshiach, there has to be a noise. Ah, help! That's Moshiach. I said last night, although it's not part of the Divrei Torah, but my daughter had showed me a video. I don't usually watch these type of videos, but she said it was on a kosher website. They show a guy in Manhattan dressed up in a costume. So he's dressed up like a SpongeBob, whatever they call it. The guy looks like a sponge, the guy, whatever the guy says. I don't know what the chokmah this is, but the guy, the big sponge, the guy sitting there like a guy. They pay him because he's dressed up like a SpongeBob. So It was an experiment. He falls on the floor, and he's screaming, help, 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 I can't get up, I'm suffering, I'm dying, I'm there. And they show a clock on the bottom of the screen, and the clock is ticking, and they show people in Manhattan just walking right by the guy. One guy steps over him, nobody looks at him, the guy's screaming, help, help, I'm dying, help, help, nothing, apathy. One guy from the hotel comes out, takes his cell phone, takes a picture of the guy, walks away. You can't believe it. Total disregard. The guy's screaming. Nobody's helping the guy.
The guy jumped over him.
What? One guy jumped over him. Exactly. The other guy jumped over him. And the clock's ticking. 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And there's tens of thousands of people. Not one guy even says, hey, is this for real? Are you serious? Can I help? Nothing. Until you see two bahurim, Jewish boys, with kippot on. They walk by. The Jewish conscience doesn't allow you to just walk by a guy when he's screaming, I need help. So they stop and they grab the guy and they, it's on video, they lift him up. And they start to have a Nagila, have a Nagila. The SpongeBob guy starts to have a Nagila. So you see over here, maybe Kedusha Shem. Only a Jew will stop for a guy screaming in the street. B'nei Yisrael ha-Rachmanim, the Rachmanim, the merciful people. That's Moshiach. And it's true, when we call out to God in Tefillah, God responds. He's a Moshiach. We cry out to him, he answers. But Ozed is a higher level. Ozed, they say, is that Borei Olam responds to our thoughts. Even before you express it verbally, Borei Olam is a Ozed, meaning even in your brain already, he's, I know what the guy wants, I give it to him. Now you have to be obviously on a higher level to get to that stage where God will respond to you even before you express it. That's why we say in the Tefillah, Ezrat Avotenu Atahu Me'olam. God was an Ezrat to our forefathers. They were tzaddikim. However, Magenu Moshiach Lehem V'Lebnehem. But to the children, he's a Moshiach. We're not on the level of our grandparents where God is an Ezrat to them. And we proved it, this concept, from what it says about marriage. When a person's married, so the Gemara says, Zacha, if he merited, his wife will be Ezer. Lo Zacha, Kenegdo. What does it mean? So there's two types of wives. One wife is a wife that she's an Ezer, which is the perfect wife. And there's one wife that she's a Moshiach. What does a Moshiach mean? That she only responds after the husband has to call out. The husband calls out and screams, I'm starving! Ah! Oh, you're starving? Okay, good. Why don't you say something? I'm saying something. Okay, let me make you dinner. What do you, guy gets stuck with such a wife? That only until he's screaming that he's dehydrated, that she gets something to drink? But the Gemara says, Zacha Ezer. Ezer, she already anticipates what he's thinking. He comes home, he twitches. I know my husband. When he twitches, I know what he wants. He wants this over. Bring him this over. Go get daddy this way. How do you know my? I didn't say anything. I know your father like a book. When he comes home and he goes like this, he wants that. That's already Ozer. And then when the Gemara says, Zacha Ezer, that's the biggest Sheba. That a lady has a certain mental telepathy that's able to predict what is already in a husband's brain. And the husband comes home and it's this. How did you know? I know already what you want. I know. I know this is what you like when you're so and so. That's Ezer. God is Ezer. That's two interpretations of two, they learn two Hebrew words. Ozer and Moshiach. There's a Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says it's a machloket when the world was created. When the world was created. One rabbi says the world was created 150 million years ago. There's no argument when the world was created. 5,775 years ago. That's a fact. Rabbi Diamond once took the girl from Elan on a trip to Epcot. You know, the Elan, he took them on a trip there. So in the Epcot over there, they have a ride over there on the creation of, I don't know, the world, something about the world, so some science thing. So the tour guide took it to all the Elan girls. And everybody knows that this thing over here, some dinosaur, was created, you know, 158 million years ago. So Rabbi Diamond says, these are young girls. Just talk about the last 5,700 years. Don't talk about what happened. Yeah. Don't confuse them. Talk about what happened in the last 5,700 years. Meaning, in a very wise way, he neutralized the guy and told the girls, don't pay attention to this guy here. Only talk about the last 5,700 years. Don't get him. They got the point, obviously. So now what happens? What happens is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ozer, and he's a Moshiach. So on this subject over here of Ozer and Moshiach, Ozer is something that's in the thought process. Moshiach is only after the person cries out. So there's a machloket in the Gemara when the word was created. There's a rabbi called Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says the word was created Aleph Tishri. Okay, Aleph Tishri. Hayom Arat Onam. Aleph Tishri. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Aleph Nisan. comes to Tosafot and says, there's a machloket. When the word, how can you have such a machloket? It's a mitmachloket in the reality. Usually the rabbis don't argue on a reality. So Tosafot answers, there's no machloket. They're both talking about different elements of the creation. The rabbi that said it was created on Aleph Tishri, that's the time that God, in his thought, decided to create the world. Allah bin Mahshaba, it entered his mind to create the world, but it wasn't actually created into action until Nisan. So the rabbi says, very good. What's the rabbi that says the world was thought upon in Tishri? The Bili Ezer. And the Ezer is from the word Ezer, because Ezer is in the mind. And who's the rabbi that says he actually did it in Nisan? To be Yeshua. That's Yeshua. That's the Shua. So therefore the names of the rabbis themselves already alluding to the Shita. Lo lechinam, Rabbi Eliezer says what he said. Lo lechinam, Rabbi Yeshua said what he said. You understand? So this is a very, very, very important principle of the day. That the Ben Ish Chai says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what you're thinking, and therefore he influences your thought process, and that by influencing the thought process in the beginning of the situation, that brings you to an actual teshuvah that's revealed. And only God knows about that thought process, because God reads the mind. God is an ultimate ozer. And that's why if you look at the language of the Gemara says, "Il male hakadosh baruch hu ozro lo yuchal lo." It says, if it wasn't for the fact that God is ozro, ozro means in the brain. It doesn't say El Malei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshi'o. The Ben Ish Chai is correct that the lashon is El Malei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. That Hashem already is Ozer. He already puts the idea in the guy's brain. Ozer is still up here. Moshiach is already something that comes into fruition. And therefore, during the month of Elul, this is the time to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He'll give us the merit to make the Teshuvah b'po'al on Aserim HaTeshuvah and Yom Kippurim. Sometimes a person comes on Yom Kippur, he didn't have a good Kippur. Didn't excite him. You know, the Viduim a week and he was so tired. That's because in Elul he wasn't praying. He went straight to the action. He didn't go through the machshava first. And therefore, Elul has to start in the brain. Elul is in the brain. And that's why, on the first day of the year, which is Rosh Hashanah, there's no mention of Teshuvah on that day. Strange. That's the day we're being judged, and there's no mention. There's no mention of vidui. The Ashkenazim don't even eat nuts because the gematria is chet. The wrong gematria. So you see over here what? So what's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the day of the machshava. That's the day that God conjectured the creation of the world. Rosh Hashanah is in the machshava. And where is the machshava? In the Rosh. That's why it's called Rosh Hashanah, which means it's reminding you that here's the day where you have to make teshuvah in your head. When they're blowing the shofar is supposed to wake you up in your brain, you're supposed to think during the shofar, enough, my derech is all good. It's the Rosh. Kippur is already the Yeshua day. Kippur is the day already, okay, now take the thought you had on Rosh, and now put it into. And that's why, what does it say? Le David Hashem Ori V'Yishri. Ori Ze Rosh Hashanah. V'Yishri Ze Yom Kippur. Ori is Rosh Hashanah. God, you're my light. When a person has an idea, It's like a light bulb. You ever seen the cartoons where they show a light bulb on the guy's Donald Duck's head? They show a light bulb. What does a light bulb mean?
Idea.
He has an idea, a bright idea. The guy says, "Ah, this is brilliant. Brilliant is light." Or they say illuminating. Anytime you talk about ideas, they talk about light. Yes? So on Rosh Hashanah, Teshuvah's in the head. Le David, Hashem Uri, God, you're my light. When are you my light? On Rosh Hashanah. But you're also Yishai. When does it become Yishai? Yom Kippur. That's when the light becomes into an action. That's when we make the Viduyim and we make the Teshuvah Bepo'al. So Rosh Hashanah is very key. You cannot go into Kippur without Rosh Hashanah. You understand? The prerequisite is Rosh Hashanah. But before Rosh Hashanah, you have Elul. Elul is where we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us that inspiration. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. When you pray for certain things, Borei Olam will send you messages. You'll go to a shi'ur, something will be said, and all of a sudden it'll click in your brain, or something will happen to the person. Borei Olam has many ways to motivate a person, to give a person a chance to make the teshuvah. The tzaddikim always saw messages in anything. When Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walked by the shoemaker, and the shoemaker was working late into the night, and he told them, "What are you doing up working so late?" And he said, "As long as there's oil in the lamp and the light is burning, there's still time to fix." Oh, so Salanter would start to cry from the, "As long as the light of the neshama is still burning, there's still time to make the shuvah." Did you hear what he said? He didn't say that. He's talking about the shoes. But the tzaddikim, they understood that anything that's told to a person, God brought those ideas to the person in order to, why did he hear it? So you have to hear what the guy's saying. If you listen good, the tzaddikim heard I was once at a bus stop with Rav Shalom Shvadrom. He wasn't going on a bus, he was in Brooklyn. Rav Shalom Shvadrom was the Magid of Yerushalayim. He used to come on a self-imposed exile every year to America for 2-3 months and live in some basement on Avenue M. And he used to learn in the Kollel with us that we learned in Mudgets. He would come without a bus. Every day he was on Tani Tibur. He was doing some type of tikkun for whatever he was doing. And I had the zechut to drive him home from the Kollel every day. I used to take the rabbi home. So at the time I used to drive a Maximus. So remember the car used to talk. Right door is open, left door is open. Talk to you. So I'll never forget the first time I took him into the car. And he is, right door is open, left door is open. Hey, son, somewhere. We don't know it's open. I want to know it's open. Open the door. Yeah, the time it's open. So, but he said, what did he say? What did she say? What did she say? So I said, she said, the right door is open. So he says, he took it. Right. So he said, he's right. What is it? Very good. So anyway, I take the rabbi home. So we're walking. So where he stayed, there's a bus stop right across the street in front. So he sees a sign by the bus stop. He says, Makatu. I said, it says no standing. So I tell him, Makatu, Asul La'amod. So he says, wow, Kaze Kodvim Devre Musar Berchovot Ha'ir Al Shilatim. He says, they write words of Musar in America on fire? What are you talking about? He says, Ken, Asul La'amod B'Hayim. You have to keep on going higher and higher and higher. Lo Yadati Shekodvim Musar Afilu Be'eret Yisrael Lo Kodvim Dvarim Ka'elu. Then the rabbi just said, it's a bus. He thought it was like Mesilat Yisrael. No standing, Rabotai. You have to grow. He was so impressed by Americans. So you see, these are tzaddikim. Whatever they read, or whatever they see, it's a message. It's a, they always interpret everything, what does God want from this? What does Hashem want from us? So this is what we pray for in Elul. In Elul you're praying for that God should enter the Rosh. So when we get to Rosh Hashanah, at least we'll have the tikkun in the Rosh. At least God will enter the brain, but you have to give him an entrance into the brain. When the brain is filled with shtuyot and havalim and all the other things of nonsense, so it's hard to find a space for Borei Olam to enter. Therefore, Elul is the time when we cleanse ourselves. We take a diet from all the machshavot that fill up the brain and clutter up our thought process. We start to release some of the extra baggage that's in the brain in order that Borei Olam has a chance to come in. And once he comes in, that's it. That's Rosh Hashanah. During the shofar, we're just thinking. We're working on this inyan, thinking. And then what? After that, we move into Yishai. We move into action. Then make viduyim. And by the time the process is over, we made a tikkun on all the levels. And then Borei Olam gives us a teshuvah. That's what we say, ba'azinu b'tshuvah shelema. What is teshuvah shelema? Teshuvah shelema means b'machshava u'b'po'al. A complete teshuvah. That the machshava shouldn't just be wasted. The machshava should lead to a... And this answers the original question. That really both are true. El malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. God is the Ozer when it comes to teshuvah. He's involved in the mindset. He reads the brain of a person. He changes the brain of a person. Ozer is always in the brain. But then it says, now you have to take it to the next step. God says, I can bring you to level one, but you have to pray for that. And that's what we pray in the Amidah. Hashivenu avinu letoratecha vekarevenu malkeva betshuvat lefanecha. All we're asking is for the part that's lefanecha. The part that you're in charge of, the brain. And then we'll go forward. Yiratzon we should be zoche. לעזור בתשובה שנאמר לפניו אמן כן ירבה.